Okay. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
And welcome to Fairburn City Council by way of Zoom tonight. Today is September the 28th, 2020. Madam Clerk, will you call the roll, please?
The Honorable Mayor Elizabeth Carhurst.
Present.
The Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Ulysses J. Smallwood.
Present.
The Honorable Linda J. Davis.
Present.
The Honorable Alex Heath.
Present.
The Honorable Hattie Portis Jones.
Present.
The Honorable Pat Pallin.
Present.
The Honorable James Whitmore.
Present.
Attorney Turner, have you made it back? Madam Mayor, the attendance of council constitutes a quorum. Please allow the meeting to continue.
Thank you so much, Madam Clerk. We will now have the invocation by Bishop Aaron Lackey.
Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we do thank you for this night, and we ask you to be with our mayor, be with council, and be with every presenter, and allow there to be only one agenda tonight, and that is the people's agenda, and let everything that is said and done be to glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The first item on the agenda tonight is the adoption of the City Council minutes. The first set of minutes is the September 14th regular council meeting by way of Zoom. Council members, you've received a copy of the minutes of September the 14th. Are there any corrections or additions to the minutes?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Whitmore?
Yes, I already spoke with the clerk. In looking at the minutes, my closing comments in reference to the letter that was going in from our attorneys in reference to what we have been talking about the past couple of weeks with waste management. But the last thing that I know I recalled saying is that this will be the last time I speak about this publicly, and I wanted to make sure that that was in the minutes so that there's no confusion whatsoever. So I asked the clerk to go back and review the tape and make sure that those comments were added along with the letter from the attorneys.
Council members, do you have any other comments or corrections to the minutes of September the 14th? Madam Clerk, those comments, additional comments that we just heard from Councilman Whitmore, he's asked that those be added to the minutes.
Yes, ma'am.
And Madam Clerk.
Yes, ma'am.
Madam Clerk?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I think we went off for just a few minutes. I just wanted to make sure that the comments just made by Councilman Whitmore are so noted in the minutes.
Yes, ma'am, noted.
Are there any other comments or corrections to the minutes of September the 14th? Is there a motion on the floor to approve?
Mayor Pro Tem, so moved.
Motion made by Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood. Is there a second?
Councilman Heath, second.
Seconded by Councilman Heath. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0. The next set of minutes is our special call meeting minutes. That was September the 23rd. Council members, you received a copy of those minutes. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes of September 23rd? Hearing none, is there a motion on the floor to approve?
Councilwoman Davis, move to approve.
Motion made by Councilwoman Davis. Is there a second?
Second, Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood.
Seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? The special call meeting minutes of September 23rd stands approved 6-0. The next item on the agenda tonight is the adoption of the City Council agenda for tonight. The first item on the agenda tonight is
a Mayor, I'm sorry. This is Councilwoman Davis. I would like to share some observations along with maybe a motion regarding item number 3 on the agenda. It's a contract award for $115,425. The first observation is that there was not enough information presented to make an informed vote on the evaluation process regarding the 5 bidders for the LCI Downtown Master Plan contract. The second observation is 2 requests for additional info was emailed to planning and zoning, and the additional info was received late today without enough time to adequately review before the start of this council meeting. Therefore, I move that item number 3 from planning and zoning be tabled due to the need for more time to review the appropriate documentation regarding the evaluation of the bidders.
Hey, well, we actually, I prefer that we go through the agenda items for tonight and we can come back to your motion for item number 3, Councilwoman Davis.
Okay, thank you, Mayor.
You're very welcome. The first agenda item for tonight's a presentation by Ms. Kelly Kemp, who's the co-founder for Modern Mobility Partners, and that's the South Fulton Comprehensive Transportation Plan. And then we have a public hearing tonight, City of Fairham Millage Rate for 2020. We have a discussion by Mr. John Culbert for the proposed donation of land for Citizens Park. The next item on the agenda is from our finance department for Mayor and Council to approve the City of Fairham 2020 millage rate at 8.1 for fiscal year 2021. And finance department for Mayor and Council to approve the City of Fairham's proposed FY 2021 budget. And then I'm gonna leave off item number 3 for Council to take a vote on, and I'll go to item number 4. For Mayor and Council to decide the use of the $10,000 donation for the proposed dog park. Those items I'm asking Council to approve, and we'll come back to item number 3 for a motion to decide whether or not item number 3 will be on the agenda for tonight. Is there a motion on the floor to approve these agenda items minus item number 3 for discussion and action tonight?
Councilman Heath, so moved.
Motion made by Councilman Heath. Is there a second?
Second, Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood.
Seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood. All those in favor?
Aye.
Are those opposed? That motion carries 6-0 for the following items. Number 6, number 7, number 8. And under agenda items, number 1, number 2, and number 4. Item number 3 is planning and zoning for Mayor and Council to approve the LCI Downtown Master Plan contract award in the amount of $115,425. Councilwoman Davis has asked that this item be tabled. Is there a motion on the floor for to table item number 3?
So move, Mayor.
Councilwoman Davis has placed a motion on the floor to table item number 3. Is there a second?
This is Pat Pallon, I second.
Councilman Pallon has seconded the motion to table item number 3. I'm going to ask council members when I call your name to give me yay or nay as to whether or not this item will be tabled on tonight. Councilman, Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood.
Yay to table it.
Councilman Heath.
Nay.
Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Yay, yes.
Councilman Pallon.
To table, yay.
Councilman Whitmore.
Nay.
And it was Councilwoman Davis. You were yay table.
Yes.
I have four yay table and two nays. So that motion passes to table item number three for the next council meeting. And the next council meeting is October the 12th.
Okay.
2020.
Thank you, Mayor.
You are welcome. Okay.
Okay.
The next item,
the next item on the agenda is
I'm getting some.
That's because Councilman Whitmore is in your office.
I'm on mute.
He's on mute.
It's coming from his speaker, though, Mayor. He needs to go to the other room. It's the speaker that's causing it. I do apologize. Okay.
Okay. The first item on the agenda is a presentation tonight from Ms. Kelly Kemp, co-founder for Modern Mobility Partners. Are you ready to present?
I am.
Thank you so much for coming tonight.
Yes, thank you for having me, Mayor and Council. I appreciate it. So I'm going to let you bring that up. All right. Well, thank you. Again, my name is Kelly Kemp. I'm one of the owners of Modern Mobility Partners, and we are the prime consultant for the Southern Fulton County Comprehensive Transportation Plan, which includes eight jurisdictions, including the city of Fairburn. We are contracted with the Atlanta Regional Commission, the MPO, here in Atlanta, and we have several of our team members on the call as well, but I want to explicitly call out Inga Kennedy with PEQ, who's also a resident of Fairburn, who's on our team as well, and so we appreciate her involvement. And so I'm just going to go through the recommendations tonight. This has been going on for a while. We've had Lester Thompson involved in the project management team. He's been a great partner, and we ask that you consider this for adoption as part of your October 12th meeting. Next slide. So I'm just going to go over what the Southern Fulton CTP is, how were the public and the stakeholders engaged, what our recommendations are and how we got here, and what's next. So what is the CTP? Again, it's for all eight cities in Southern Fulton. The bottom line is that we've developed a master list of projects for each of the eight cities, as well as the Southern Fulton region as a whole, that focus on all modes of transportation. And we've put them into three different buckets. The 5 and 10 years are the short and midterm. And those are what's based on what we think are financially feasible based on historical revenue trends. And then also a long-term list that's for 10 or more years from now, keeping in mind that some projects traverse multiple buckets depending on the type of project and the cost. One thing I want to make sure I point out is that regardless of what bucket the project falls in, as long as it's in the plan, it's considered part of the CTP. So what you can do is take these transportation projects and use it to populate your next SPLOST program list, recognizing that your current SPLOST ends in 2022. And then also, as long as the project is included in the CTP, you can apply for federal funding with the Atlanta Regional Commission during their project solicitation process. So this is just the study area. The area in pink, obviously, is Fairburn. Along with the other seven cities and a very small sliver of unincorporated Fulton along FIB in the northern portion. This is our milestone schedule. You'll see that we started the project back in February of 2019. We went through and did a very extensive inventory of the transportation landscape within Southern Fulton. and develop the vision, goals, and objectives and project prioritization based on a variety of feedback mechanisms from the stakeholders and the public, and did an assessment of short and long range needs and came up with recommendations and the documentation. So the executive summary and the project list, as well as all the technical reports, are on the project website. And hopefully you've had a chance to take a look at the executive summary. So how were the public and stakeholders engaged? We actually had a combination of in-person and digital engagement. Obviously during COVID, it's been all digital, but there was extensive amount of in-person engagement prior to COVID as well. We had 6 project management team meetings. I mentioned Lester Thompson represented Fairburn on that committee. We also had 5 stakeholder committee meetings, which is all the logos you see on the right-hand side of the screen, were all those invited to participate in those meetings, which consisted of about 40 members. We also piggybacked onto a Southern Fulton Chamber meeting last year and did a little mayor charrette to see what each of the cities valued in relation to how to prioritize projects. We did a similar exercise during our public meetings that we'll talk about, as well as with the stakeholder and the PMT. We did a bus tour where we could go see firsthand what a lot of the challenges and opportunities are. And that included members of the PMT, stakeholders, and elected officials. We had one-on-one meetings with each of the cities, as well as GDOT and MARTA, and then 2 rounds of presentations to each of the 8 city councils, totaling 16 council presentations. So we're wrapping that up here. And hopefully you remember when I presented early last year as well. I know it's been a while. So we also had a lot of public engagement. Back last year, around this time, we had 8 in-person public meetings, 1 in each city. 72 people attended in person in total for those 8 meetings. But we also Facebook Live those meetings at that time a year ago. And back then, we actually had more people engaged digitally pre-COVID than in person, with over 3,000 views. And so that was an interactive process as well. And we did another round of public meetings. Originally, they were going to be in person, but then COVID happened. And so we did 3 live recorded virtual public meetings as well. And as of May, we had about just close to 1,200 views. I'm sure it's a lot more now. And again, I mentioned the 16 city council meetings. Pre-COVID, we had 8 roving outreach opportunities where Inga and her team went out to different community events, festivals, stuff like that, to let folks know about the study, as well as do in-person surveys as part of survey number 1. And we also had online surveys in survey number 1. So we got over 1,100 responses to our survey. And then we had a second survey earlier this year during COVID, where we had over 600 responses. And that also included an online mapping tool that we developed so that the public and stakeholders could comment on specific individual projects as well. So how are the recommendations developed and prioritized? So the first thing we did at the beginning of the study is we revisited the vision from the 2013 CTP and updated it based on feedback from the stakeholders and the public and the project management team. And that is to provide residents, businesses, and visitors with the safe, connected, and reliable transportation system for all. And aligned with those visions, we developed 3 goals, and each one of those goals have 4 metrics, which I won't go into detail, but the stakeholders and the public all had input into the development of these goals and objectives. The first goal is to provide safe and reliable mobility options for all. The second goal is to provide a connected, reliable transportation system that operates efficiently and supports future growth. And when we say connected, we mean in 2 ways. We mean from point A to B physically, as well as connected from with technology, with connected vehicles, from vehicles to the transportation infrastructure and back to the Transportation Management Center. And then lastly, to promote economic competitiveness in Southern Fulton region, as well as the Atlanta region as a whole. So how did we account for different users along specific corridors? This was something that was not just a challenge in Southern Fulton, frankly, it's a challenge in a lot of places, but there's some uniqueness down here in Southern Fulton where you have corridors that are competing with trucks and you know, industrial and residential uses, and you have all these jurisdictions abutting one another. And so in different zoning decisions impacting adjacent cities and stuff. And so what we did is we developed a corridor framework that's a little unique actually to a lot of CTPs, and particularly in the Atlanta region. But we did an extensive analysis of the data and our knowledge of the area and developed first a smart corridor network where we could identify low-hanging fruit opportunities to use technology to improve safety and mobility. And then the second part of it was to figure out, okay, along the corridors, do we want to focus our investments on livability or quality of life as it relates to pedestrian, bicyclist, transit activity? Or do we want to focus it on more economic freight corridors where we want to incentivize trucks to use those corridors and not the residential corridors or other corridors that prohibit trucks? And so those are our economic freight corridors. And so an example of something that might fall in that category is, for instance, freight signal priority really late at night or early in the morning along those smart corridors, where it allows trucks extra green time to get through and incentivizes them to not use those corridors during heavy peak traffic or to use other corridors that have more delay. Next. So how were projects evaluated? So you'll see here the little pie chart of eight different categories. You've probably seen us talk about it before. Safety, public health, system preservation, regional impact, project readiness, economic impacts, mobility options and access and connectivity and reliability. Early on, we developed those eight categories with input from the stakeholders and the public. And we asked them to weight those categories based on what's most important to them when prioritizing projects. And then we actually created weighting scenarios. Slide. And so as part of the surveys that I mentioned, you know, that first survey where we had a little over 1,200 responses, we asked every respondent to indicate what city they lived in so we could disaggregate the results by city, as well as do an average for the whole of the respondents for all of Southern Fulton. What you'll see here for Fairburn in the top middle, what I want to call your attention to is that the color scheme is very close to the bottom right, which is the survey average, but essentially safety was the number one priority for all the respondents. And that was the case for most cities, as well as the average for all of Southern Fulton. Not too far behind that was connectivity and reliability, and then followed by public health and mobility options and access pretty close to one another. Just like the survey average for all of Southern Fulton, project readiness and regional impact were low on the list there of priorities. So we use this information to actually develop our weighting scenarios for the City of Fairburn projects, as well as for the region as a whole, the survey average. Next slide. So essentially, to prioritize projects, we took our full universe of projects and calculated a raw score based on all the different metrics that we mentioned earlier. Each one of those eight criteria have several metrics within them. And then we applied the city weighting scenario and then the regional weighting scenario, and then did a combined score for a ranking. And that's how we were able to create a prioritized list of projects for the city as well as the region as a whole. Next. So what are the recommended projects? So first, here is these are all the new projects in the Southern Fulton region. And what we mean by new projects are those that are not currently funded in your current SPLOST or in the ARC Regional Transportation Program. If they're currently funded, we left them alone. We assumed they were progressing. And so new projects are those that are unfunded, but they may include projects that have been studied before and just didn't have funding yet. So we did a very thorough scrub of all the previous studies to make sure we weren't reinventing the wheel as well. But we also came up with some new projects also. So in total for the Southern Fulton region, there's about $2.6 billion in projects. About $190 million of those fall in the first 5 years, and then $218 million in that second 6 to 10 year band, and then the rest in the long term. With a total of 381 projects, you'll see there's more slices of the pie on the left-hand side, and that's because here we have 110 projects. They are entirely funded in the first 5 years, but then you have a host of projects that traverse multiple bands. Either they take longer to implement, or they're just higher dollar projects, or they're a lump sum reoccurring expense every year, say for like resurfacing. Next slide. So for the city of Fairburn, it's the highlighted across the screen here in pink. You have a total of 50 projects that fall within Fairburn, either within its entirety or traverses Fairburn and other cities. Of those 50 projects, 25 are in the first 5 years that they get started. Okay, that doesn't necessarily mean they all finish by then, but they get started in the first 5 years. And that's only 5.6 million. So you can see those are your low hanging fruit projects. Those might be, you know, bus stop shelters and amenities and benches and stuff like that, or connected vehicle projects, stuff like that. Then in the second 10 year, in the 6 to 10 year band, you have three more projects that are initiated in that 10 years. And then you have the rest in the long-term plan. And again, as a reminder, just because it's in long-term does not mean it's less than, you know, I mean, it's still considered part of the CTP. Next slide. Okay, so hopefully you've seen these before, and this is also in the executive summary report, as well as the appendix, which has a tabular list of projects to go along with these project IDs. But all the triangles, these are the projects in the first 5 years, and all the triangles are, you know, to be a transit asset management and system upgrade, which is like the bench or a bus shelter with trash cans at transit stops. You've also got some connected vehicle projects. I think a lot of those start in the second band potentially. You've also got what looks like the start of the transit expansion. But it doesn't actually, it goes throughout, I believe that goes throughout all 10 years just because of the cost and the time frame. And so you have a variety of projects here. You've also got what looks like some bicycle and pedestrian along US 29 as well. You've got some connected vehicle projects along 74. You have the high capacity transit expansion I mentioned along US 29, and that would extend from MARTA College Park Station down to Palmetto. And you have an intersection improvement at US 29 and at Sonoya. And then on the next slide, you'll see you don't see very many lines or dots on here. And that's because, and that's actually, that's correct, but that's because a lot of yours started in 5 years. And so when a project shows up on the map for the first time, that's when it starts funding. So you do have funding going through that 6 to 10 year band. And that includes your continued CV, your continued connected vehicle bundled phases one and two of projects, and the connected vehicle projects are where you'll have transit signal priority, emergency vehicle preemption, stuff like that, that you can apply once your intersections can communicate with each other. There's some transit stop benches that are included in there. And there's a bridge rehab project at I-85 and Jonesboro, and some access management along Jonesboro as well. So they just started funding earlier. Next slide. And then under long term, your bigger projects are your Oakley Industrial Boulevard widening and bridge rehab. You've got sidewalks along US 29. You've got sidewalks and raised medians along Sonoya, FIB, and intersection improvement at State Route 74 and Sonoya. Next slide. So I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but this is your system performance dashboard for the city of Fairburn that looks at the benefits of the projects, particularly the major capacity adding projects. And so it compares where it is now, or it was in 2017 with the latest available data, to your 2050 existing plus committed, which is what is programmed and funded, compared to your 2050 build scenario with all your projects. So the bottom line is the with the projects, with the major capacity projects in the future, with them, the time it takes for you to travel goes down, the distance it takes for you to travel go down, but most importantly, your delay goes down by 14.5%. So that's actually really good. The other thing is you have an increase of going from 0 to 3 lane miles for bike lanes and trails. You also get a bus shelter, but you go from 1 to 20 benches at transit stops. So you have considerably more transit stop amenities. Your level service, which is think of it like a grade for your congestion. The level service A through C, that orange, that's good. That's very good. So you really don't have too bad performing congestion either way, relatively speaking. About almost half of your projects cross multiple jurisdictions. You have 12 projects that provide access to socially vulnerable areas. And you have 3 transit projects and 10 auto projects that provide access to those that are considered isolated on an ARC index as it relates to providing access or having access to hospitals, schools, commercial centers, and fire stations. Excuse me. So you're probably wondering, how did we account for COVID-19, as well as emerging technologies and other disruptors? The good news is that we were thinking about disruptors early on from the very beginning of the study. And so we thought a lot about new and emerging technologies, and we accounted for connected vehicles in the vision, as well as the goals and objectives, and as well as autonomous vehicles. And the inventory and needs, we did an extensive inventory effort on how the signals communicate with one another, or if they have communication, where you have fiber, and we developed a smart corridor network. And as part of the recommendations, we developed technology projects that could be funded along that network, as well as for your project cost estimates, where it's a widening project or new construction, if there wasn't fiber already, we line item the cost for adding fiber. So that way the cities could decide later, would have that in the budget and in the scope should they want to do that later. We installed communications at all the traffic signals, signal preemption for emergency vehicles, signal priority for buses and trucks on certain corridors, electric vehicle charging stations, bike signals. But also to reflect COVID, what we did was we had one funding scenario for the financially feasible plan where we looked at historical revenues. And then we had a reduced funding scenario as kind of the other bookends where we looked at, okay, because people aren't traveling as much, the motor fuel tax collections are going to be less. And because, you know, people aren't out shopping as much, you might think maybe, sales tax could go down, revenues. So we created a very conservative scenario that shows, based on historical economic downturn, sometimes it can take 10 years to get back to where you were before, if not more. And so we took that into consideration as well and kind of had those as bookends of our financially feasible plan. Next slide. So what's next? So I mentioned we're presenting to all the 8 city councils. We ask that you adopt this plan at your next council meeting on the 12th. Again, you'll be adopting the executive summary and the appendix that goes with it with the projects. A few things to keep in mind, at least 5 of the 8 cities have to adopt the plan for it to be considered an adopted plan. So far, I believe we've had 6 presentations. 4 have adopted, 2 are about to adopt. They were just doing what you guys do, a 2-stage adoption. Then there's you guys, and then 1 more city we have left to present to. We're not anticipating any issues with any of the adoptions. To apply for federal funding for a project, the project does need to be in the adopted plan. However, again, it's okay if it's in long term, it's still considered part of the plan. And 2, if a project comes up, say you do a study, let's say you do a study and you come up with a project after this plan, you can go back and amend the plan to include it. So just wanted to let you know that as well. And with that said, I think I just have questions left. Oh, 1 more thing. You can find more information at southernfultonctp.org. The far right image is the cover of our executive summary.
Thank you so much, Kelly.
Thank you.
We enjoyed it. This was a very comprehensive presentation tonight, and I'm sure council has some questions. So I'm going to open the floor up now for any council members who may have any questions concerning this comprehensive transportation plan.
Okay.
Any council members have any questions for Ms. Kemp?
Councilman Heath? Yes, ma'am. My question is that I noticed that there's a lot of like long range plans, 10 years plus. And I've known of and talking with MARTA officials and everything that like they've really gone out and done it real well up on the north side. And they've really, to be honest with you, we've been paying that 10% tax ever since it was initiated. And I know you probably don't have anything to do with MARTA, but the thing of it is that it came all the way to College Park with the rail. They finally put 1 bus going to our parking facility out on 74 Highway that we spent $1.25 million on and all. I mean, isn't there some way of doing something spectacular for the south side so that we would feel like we're kind of wanted to?
Yeah, so I'm glad you asked that. And so we do have a project in there for high capacity transit expansion further south from College Park, further south down to Palmetto.
Okay.
So we do have that in there. Now it's long range because those types of projects cost a lot and they take a while for what's called project development, which is getting all the engineering and the design and right away and all that stuff, as well as the construction. But that is in there. The other thing isn't necessarily explicitly specific to Fairburn, but for the Southern Fulton region is we also have a feasibility study that we put in there for some type of transit from Southwest Fulton up to City of Atlanta as well. where there's not currently transit. So that's in there also.
Well, the reason that I guess I'm bringing that up is I'd asked point blank the CEO of MARTA about putting rail either to Union City, Fairburn, or down to Palmetto. And he all of a sudden had to leave. He just didn't want to discuss it. So that's the reason I was thinking that I'd ask you, and I feel like that you're an honest person and I can get honest feedback. And I thank you for that.
I'm glad I give that impression. It's true. It's true, but I'm glad you see that.
Yes, thank you. That's all I have.
Okay. Are there any more comments or questions from any other council member? Okay. Don't hear anything. So this item will come back on the agenda on October the 12th at our next council meeting for approval.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you
so much. Thank you so much, Ms. Kemp. And thank you, Ms. Kennedy, for your work on this project. Thank you again. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you all again.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay, the next item on the agenda tonight is a public hearing. And the public hearing tonight is for the City of Fairburn millage rate for 2020. Is there a motion on the floor to open the public hearing for the millage rate?
Councilman Heath, so moved.
Okay, the public hearing.
Councilman Whitmore, second.
The public hearing is now open. For the City of Fairburn's millage rate for 2020. Mr. Roderick Taylor, are you available to give us a report on the millage rate for FY 2021?
Yes, ma'am, I'm okay.
Okay.
Mayor, you're gonna
Good evening, Mayor, and council members, citizens, and staff.
Good evening.
The 2020 millage rate, if you look at the far right column, which says 2020, the real and personal tax was $1,468,000,000, motor vehicles, $5,799,000,000, mobile homes, $3,920,000, heavy duty equipment is $732,270,000, the gross tax digest is $1,475,000,000. Exemptions, M&O, maintenance and operations, is $206,000,000. So the total net tax digest is $1,268,000,000. The gross millage rate is 17.83. The rollback was 9.73. And the net millage rate is 8.10. which it has been for the last 5 years. The net tax levy is at $10,276,013. Your net increase was $3,638,450 with a percentage of 54.82%.
Okay. Well, the good news is our millage rate did not go up. Last 5 years, it has remained the same. Before I go to council for any comments, I'm going to ask Dr. Parks, do we have anyone on the line tonight who would like to speak on Fairburn's millage rate of 8.1, either for or against? I'm sure we don't have anybody speaking against it, but anybody who has any comments?
No, ma'am, not at this time.
Are there any hands being raised?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Okay. Council members, do you have any questions to Mr. Taylor tonight concerning the 8.1 millage rate for the City of Fairburn?
No questions, but a comment, Mayor.
No questions.
Councilman Heath, I do have one question.
Yes, sir.
What determines the rollback rate?
The rollback is determined by the county. When they send us the digest, they have calculated a rollback number.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. Seeing that there are no hands raised from the public, is there a motion on the floor to close the public hearing?
So moved.
Pro Tem, Councilman Hayes. Okay.
Is the motion made by Councilman Whitmore?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, motion made by Councilman Whitmore and seconded by Councilman Heath. Yes. The public hearing is now closed. The next item on the agenda is a discussion, and Mr. John Culbert, who's our Director of Parks and Recreation, is going to talk to us tonight on the proposed donation of land for Citizens Park. Now, let me just tell Council that that's not the name of the park. We just pulled the name out of the hat so that we could have something to go by. That's not the name. We will decide on a name for that park at a later date. But Mr. Culbert is going to give us some information concerning this proposed donation of land for Citizens Park. Now, this property, we've invited all council members, and I think most of the council members have already gone out to look at this land. It's behind the cigar bar off of 74. Harris Road, that's vacant land, and he's going to talk to you about the donation of this land to the city of Fairburn. Mr. Culbert.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor and Honorable Council Members. I think we have a wonderful opportunity to add an additional park to the city of Fairburn's park system. This opportunity doesn't come along every day. This park could provide a passive recreation opportunity for residents as well as the businesses in the district on Highway 74. The park could have walking courses, fitness courses, it would have trash receptacles, of course, benches, maybe a wrought iron fence around it, a green area for some activity, bike rack, food truck site, and very minimal activity, but it will be a course of where people would walk around the park at the pond. Now, the detention pond would not be a part of the permanent park. The detention pond will be still utilized by the businesses in the area as it was designed when their businesses were developed. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity for this to be donated to the city's park system. And I would just ask for the mayor and council support for this project.
Okay, Mr. Culbert. Do I have Tarika Peaks on the line also?
Yes, I'm here, Mayor.
Good evening, Ms. Peaks. Did you want to add anything to this proposed donation of land for the park that's behind the cigar bar on 74?
The only thing I would add is that I concur with the Parks and Rec Director John Culbert that I think it's a great site for a park for the city of Fairburn, especially on that side of the city, because there's no park on that side of Fairburn. So I think it'll be utilized and an addition for the citizens on that side of the city. And the land will be donated by David Hughes. He's currently the land owner of the site. So he is ready to move forward with council's support.
And how much, and how many acres is it, Ms. Peaks?
2.57 acres, but I will let you know that the detention pond is also included in that acreage. So the park site would be a little less than 2.57 acres. So if we decide to move forward with the project, we would need to get it surveyed. And of course, the detention pond aspect of it would not be included in the city's land donation.
Okay. I think what we failed to make council aware of, and I think it was the facts was given to those council members that actually went over to have a live view of the different establishments around there that would be responsible for the upkeep. You want to address that issue?
Yes, currently the businesses, some of the businesses on 74, they already have a maintenance agreement amongst themselves to maintain the detention pond. So the city would hold no responsibility for the maintenance of the detention pond. And also the making the detention pond into like a fountain, that is also something that would not be on the responsibility of the city. Any work related to that detention pond, maintaining it, making landscaping, any type of cleaning will be maintained by the business owners on 74. And I think those business owners are Starbucks, Marco's Pizza, I want to say Taco Bell, of course, six Studio Cigar, and I think the hotel across the street, Wyndham.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to open the floor up to the council members. As they said, this 2.5 acres will be donated to the city of Fairburn. And so I'm going to open the floor up for any discussion. I know that Councilman Whitmore, I think he saw it. Councilwoman Portis-Jones, and Councilman Heath, you saw it.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm not sure any other council that went out to see it. So I'm going to open the floor up for just a general discussion. As we just mentioned, the land will be donated to the city of Fairburn. The floor is open for discussion.
Councilman Heath.
Yes, sir.
What kind of cost are we looking at? It looks like that they have a paved parking lot and shrubbery and stuff like that. Am I understanding that the businesses around there are going to supply those things?
No, we don't have an exact cost on the price of the park construction. We would have to, if council decides to move forward with it, we would have to put it out for bid. But we don't have any true costs on what the park would be as far as the construction of it.
Thank you.
Councilwoman Davis, Ms. Peaks, the businesses will take care, if I heard this correctly, the maintenance of the detention pond, right?
Right.
Which will really not be a part of the dog park per se. But in addition to costing out this, and who will maintain it and know all the different PAW laws and, you know, and stuff like that, will the city have to do that or dedicate an employee of the city to do that? Share that with me, please.
So I'm under the understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, that this would not be a dog park. This is a
recreation
park for the city of Fairburn. It's not specifically a dog park. So the maintenance of it would be, of course, the city of Fairburn.
Okay, cool.
It'll be used for walking. Walking paths would be developed on it.
Okay.
Just a quiet place to walk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Great.
Before you, is that Councilman Whitmore?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, before you speak, I just want council to be made aware that David Hughes has been aggressively pursuing the city to give us this piece of land. He has no use for it. Behind the cigar bar. It's an excellent place for a park, considering what's over there in that area right now. So I think that what we I mean, we're not going to vote on it tonight, but what council need to really think about is whether or not we want to accept the donation of this 2.57 acres from Mr. Hughes. Councilman Whitmore.
Yes, Mayor. Well, my comments would be simply with Mr. Hughes donating the 2.57 acres to the city, and with the thought of a new cigar bar that's going to be sitting right there on 74 and Harris Road, and as we toured the cigar, not the cigar, but just as we toured the cigar establishment, seeing the beautification that would happen out there around the detention pond with the aerator fountain and so on and so forth, it's just going to be more attractive for the business, the customers that's coming in to patronize the business, as well as the fact that the recreation department is thinking in advance by having a walking trail, and then the additional parking, which we all know is really needed for that area as well. So I think it's going to add aesthetically to that area, and it's going to help to improve that area tremendously. And I was glad to hear that Mr. Hughes was ready to donate the acreage to the city, and with the consideration of putting a park out there along with the additional parking.
Council members, are there any other comments concerning this park?
Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood.
Yes,
so
sir.
That parking, is would that parking be exclusive just for park goers, or is that parking for other people along the business area as well?
It will be primarily, Mayor?
Yes.
It will be primarily utilized by someone who's coming up to the park to walk or to just sit in the park. Because other than that, you have across the street the trucking company, and we would not want them to park on Harris Road, and we would not want them to impede upon the businesses that are on 74 as well. So that will be parking that will be part of the amenity for the park.
Right. And one other thing, did I hear you say there's going to be exercise equipment out there too, if we went forward with this?
No, it's an idea. You know, normally a lot of walking, a lot of walking courses, you would have an exercise station, say a bar that's in cement, in concrete, that you would walk and you would do pull-ups and go to another station and do something else. In addition to that, you might just want to walk around the path of the park.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Councilwoman Davis, when will we have some idea of the cost for the city, for the park and maintain the park and everything?
Well, we'll have to put it out to bid.
Uh-huh, yes.
We don't have any idea yet. I'm going to really suggest to council that, even if we can't look at this as being a park in the next year or so, that we accept the land. Because if we accept the land, we can basically go in and do work on this acreage probably through our budget the next couple of years, as long as we own the land. And I would suggest anybody who hasn't gone out there to look at it, the cigar bar should be opening up probably in the next couple of weeks. It's a beautiful place. If you're out on the patio in the back, you're looking out at the park area. If you're upstairs in the studio bar, you can look out at it. And it's going to be a really nice area. It's going to add a lot of enhancement to that area over there, the Croft House, which are the high-end apartments right next door. And people are looking for some place to go and just chill out. So I want council to really look at even us accepting the land and thinking about what we could do with the land at some given point, even if we're not able to go in at this particular time and make it a park that we can all be proud of. So with that being said, is there any other members of council who have any questions or?
Yes, Mayor, Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Okay, Ms. Portis Jones.
Yes, a couple of questions. How long would the walking trail be? Given all the other things that you described as part of the park.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have two acres, so the path would be around, if we can look at around the pond.
It's like 10 feet.
I think it's pretty premature to really say how long it's going to be as far as feet or steps or anything, because what they need to do first, I think, is we need to look at how big the detention pond is, because I don't know how big that detention pond is, and going around it, what that would be in feet or steps or anything like that. I think that's some more planning or design work that needs to be done to really capture that.
Okay. And then are there any contingency with us accepting this land? Do we have to accept the land? Is something else required for us to accept the land? Or we must we do something in order to accept this land? Yeah, and the reason I brought it up is because when this was first presented to us, it was presented to us in the context of the request for zoning for the apartments, the new apartments over on Highway 74 by South City Partners. And I just want to make sure that is not the case, because it was presented in tandem with that.
Woman Davis, this land.
Ms. Portis Jones.
I'm sorry, Ms. Portis Jones, Councilwoman Portis Jones. This land don't have anything to do, or didn't have anything to do with the rezoning for the apartments that I'm aware of. This is a property that were owned by separate individuals, so I wasn't aware of any type of connection to the park, to Croft House, or any other rezoning case that we've had, so I'm unaware of that.
Okay, I just want to make sure that's clarity question. And then let me just express one concern, major concern that I have, and that is, that it is Harris Road, that it is in the back of the trucking, traveling trucking station. And when I toured the area, and I've gone over a couple more times, the size of the trucks, the frequencies of the trucks, and the number of trucks, I'm really concerned about safety for that to be a walking park. So that's something I think we need to consider as well, especially given the land is elongated versus being wide. So it would be really near the street. And if we are wanting the residents in back of that, Fieldstone Manor, I believe it is, to use that as well as the residents from the apartments, to walk that area, I'm really concerned about walking along Harris Road.
Okay, are there any other comments? Okay, well, thank you so much. All right. The next agenda item is from our finance department, Roger Taylor. For Mayor and Council to approve the City of Fairburn 2020 millage rate at 8.1 for FY 2021. Mr. Taylor.
Okay. Excuse me. Oh, so the millage rate is 8.10, and the millage rate has been in existence for the last 5 years. And that is the proposed millage rate for 2020, 8.10.
Okay. Are there any other questions for Mr. Taylor? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the millage rate for the city of Fairburn 2020 at a rate of 8.1%. Is there a motion on the floor to approve?
Councilman Heath, so moved.
Second. Tim Smallwood.
I heard two names, so I'll go with Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood for the second. Councilman Heath made the motion. Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0. The next item is also from finance for mayor and council to approve the city of Fairburn FY 2021 budget. Mr. Taylor.
Good afternoon again, members of mayor council and members of council, as well as citizens and staff. When we met last, there were direction was given to increase certain budgets by certain dollar amounts. So the property management budget was increased by $30,000 for a vehicle for the deputy director position. The planning and zoning area was increased by $18,500. $12,500 of that was for Keep Fairburn Beautiful project and $6,000 for the boards and commission meeting compensation. So with the $48,500 addition, that increased that budget to $17,811,065. That is for the general fund. The general fund budget increased by $48,500. And there's still a 3% increase from the previous year. Now, on the grant side, we increased that budget by $51,073 for the GOHS grant for the police department. So that increased the other fund's budget to $39,326,213. So the total proposed budget for the FY 2020-21 is $57,137,278, which is a 5% increase overall from the prior year's budget.
You mean $57,137,278. Okay. I couldn't have been 57,000.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it's definitely not.
Okay. Okay, Council, do you have any questions for Mr. Taylor?
Yes, Mayor. Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Okay.
Yes. When we were discussing the budget at the last meeting, unfortunately, I was not able to complete all of the questions that I had regarding that budget. One particular item that I want to ask about that was shared with me when I had my budget meeting with then Finance Director Ms. Davis and Mr. Taylor. So that question is, I was told that it is proposed in this budget to not to pay the employees, to provide the employees incentive pay. Is that correct?
That's correct. We're not doing incentive pay for employees this year.
Well, Mayor, I would ask that we reconsider that, especially the 2020. This has been a very trying year.
It has. And I understand that.
May I finish, Mayor, please? May I finish?
I understand that, Councilwoman Portis Jones.
May I finish, Mayor?
It's been a very trying year, but we are not doing incentive pay for employees this year.
May I make my point, Mayor, please?
Okay, go ahead, please.
Thank you very much. That if ever a time we should be providing incentive pay to our employees, it is this year. Last year, we approved the reduction in the incentive pay, which we had provided all of the employees a $600 a bonus for the work that they've done. Again, this year has been a very trying time. We've lost numerous employees. The employees that are there are doing additional work, taking on additional responsibility because of the short staff that we have. And I think, and in light of the fact that we will be receiving $699,000 from the CARES Act, that we could take the funds from our general fund to provide an incentive pay and a thank you and an appreciation to the employees for the trying time that they have endured this year.
Okay, have you finished, Ms. Portis-Jones?
I have, thank you.
Okay, the time to bring that up would have been the last meeting.
You cut me off just like you tried to do so tonight.
I'm not going to argue with you. The last meeting was the time to bring up incentive pay. We're approving the budget for tonight. I don't know where you get this. We've lost numerous employees because we have not lost numerous employees. Any employees that have left, those employees have been replaced. We are not short staffed. Our police department is staffed. My fire department, I may have one or two positions over there that are not filled, but we are not short-staffed in the city. I want to make that very clear.
We don't have a city administrator.
I don't have a city administrator, but that doesn't mean we're short-staffed because I don't have a city administrator. Now, we're here tonight to approve this budget. Now, maybe in the mid-year, we may be able to come up with some funding for our cities and employees. We have, in one of the few cities around here that have given hazard pay, and we jumped on the bandwagon and we gave hazard pay $500 to those public safety employees, which included our fire department. And yes, we have gotten we're supposed to get $699,575 for the COVID-19 CARES funding. That amount, they're allowing us to pay for first responder salaries, which means that we will have money in the budget to do that with probably in the mid-year. But right now, we do not. And so we're here tonight to approve this budget as it stands. Okay? We're here tonight to approve it. You know, I'm of all people are pro-employees. I've always cared about our employees. I have made sure that we gave employees incentive pays when we could give them incentive pay. We don't have it this year to give incentive pay. And so you might look at $699,000 as being a whole lot of money, but it's not, considering what we're going to have to do with this money to carry us through this budget year. So we don't have funds right now for employees. And this is on the agenda for approval tonight.
Mayor, this is Councilwoman Davis. Maybe as a compromise, I was not aware that the employees would not be getting incentive pay.
Well, you all.
So that's on me. I was not aware of that. Yes. I didn't realize it was taken out of the budget. But as a compromise, and during the mid-year, can we look at maybe the possibility of giving some type of incentive pay because this year has been hard on everybody. It has been extremely hard, and there are employees that was not classified as essential, but in reality, they were, and they came to work every day under conditions, not knowing whether they were going to get the virus or not get the virus. So I think it would be sort of a compromise if we, during the mid-year, can see how everything shake out in reference to the CARES Act. You know, are we getting our funds back from the expenses of COVID-19? And if everything kind of shake out where we can give our employees incentive pay in mid-year, I would wish that we would be able to look at that.
And I'll be more than happy to look at it during mid-year, Councilwoman Davis. I have no problems with looking at it during that particular time. And we did. We had employees who came to work who were not, quote, essential employees. Yeah. And that's what's needed to run a city. You know, finance came to work. They were not essential, but we had to pay bills. Payroll came to work. We had to pay employees. Street department came to work. We had to cut grass. We had to take care of our streets. So you are correct. They did come to work. And we paid them when they did not come to work. And so I just want to be clear with council that we paid employees for weeks when they didn't come to work. I know 2 weeks straight we paid employees. And then my Parks and Recreation Department, they were off, I think, 4 to 6 weeks, and they only worked half a day. So we paid employees. Those who thought that they may have contracted COVID-19, we gave them 14 days off. They didn't have to come to work. So I want to be clear with everyone tonight. We are not short-staffed. The work is getting done, regardless of what is being said out in the communities. That is not the truth. If you want to know the truth, come in City Hall or pick up the phone and call me. I'll tell you what's what, okay? But right now, the budget is on the table tonight for approval, okay? We've had a budget meeting last 2 weeks, and there was nothing said about incentive pay. And so with that being said, I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the budget.
I
think Mr. Palin got in before the motion, so I will entertain Mr. Palin, and then I'll.
Okay, thanks, Liz. Yeah. Yes. What it comes down to is this: I recognize that we need to pass a budget in order to keep us moving forward and keep us heading in the right direction. But several weeks back, the last meeting actually, I asked a question about what Jeff Dickerson was doing by way of marketing and PR in order to help us promote the city. And you indicated you would provide that information to me in several days, and I've seen nothing yet. And this budget includes $60,000 that we are going to pay him yet again for another 12 months. And I have seen nothing by way of what he has accomplished. And I need to know some more about it.
Okay, well, Mr. Palin, let me say this, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but this is my 13th year here in the city of Fairburn, and I remember when you were supposedly our media person, and you refused to give anybody any information. You never gave us a report. Now, I'll be more than happy to send a report out. I have been out of this office. I came back in the city last night at 10 o'clock. I will get it to you all this week. But right now, we're asking for a motion on the floor to approve the budget. Is there a motion
Let me respond to what you have said. I was never hired as our media person.
Mr. Palin.
I was our economic development person.
You are out of order. Is there a motion on the floor to approve the budget?
So moved. Pro Tem Smallwood, so moved.
Motion made by Councilman Smallwood. Is there a second?
Councilman Whitmore, second.
Second by Councilman Whitmore. All those in favor say aye.
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 May I have the ayes, please?
Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood.
Okay. The next one?
Councilman Heath.
The next one?
Councilman Whitmore.
Is there anyone else?
Councilwoman Davis.
Councilwoman Davis. Are the nays?
Councilwoman Portis-Jones.
Councilwoman Portis-Jones and Councilman Palin. Four yeas and two nays. That the budget passed 4-2. Item number 3 is being tabled to October the 12th. And item number 4 is for mayor and council to decide the use of the $10,000 donation for proposed dog park. Mr. Colbert.
Mr. Colbert, please unmute yourself.
Mr. Colbert, unmute yourself.
Thank you.
Honorable Mayor and honorable council members, thank you. We have been discussing $10,000 that was donated to the city of Fairburn for a dog park. After additional exploratory research on dog parks, we feel that we are not ready to develop a comprehensive dog park at this time. However, I have been in communication with the donor, and she is open to the possibility of us establishing maybe a fountain area where the dogs could come and drink, and then we could also place a plaque in recognition of her for the donation. And we would do that in Duncan Park, in a certain area of Duncan Park. And we will continue to plan for the future on identifying a comprehensive plan for budgeting for a dog park. But at this time, we do not have the capacity in our budgets to do a real dog park. I handed out some information in the packets of the council members showing Peachtree City's dog park and Noonan's dog park. I visited the Noonan dog park. It took about $1.1 million to develop that park. It's a very large tract of land, maybe about 4 or 5 acres dedicated to dogs alone. So we are not quite ready for developing a dog park, but I think if we can develop a site in the park where we could put a dog fountain and individuals who have their dogs could come to that fountain and their dogs could get water, and we can also do a recognition plaque for Ms. Mullis, who has been very faithful in her $10,000 donation. Now, one thing we do have to decide is we would have to have another check issued and dedicated for that particular purpose.
Okay, council members, you've heard Mr. Colbert on the use of a $10,000 donation for the dog park. You have any suggestions? Any suggestion whatsoever? It's just impossible for us to do it for $10,000. Mm-hmm. I think he gave some good suggestions, but I would like to hear from you all, because one way or the other, we don't want to just hold her $10,000. We are very appreciative of it. But, you know, right now, we just don't have the means to do it. Council members, do you have any suggestions, or are you in agreement with what Mr. Colbert has suggested to us tonight?
Mayor, Councilman Heath.
Councilman Heath.
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Colbert.
Yes, sir.
The park that we saw over at that apartment complex the day we went and took a tour.
Yes.
My thinking is just really nothing no larger than that. I know you can get as extravagant as you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
I had no intention of spending over $1 million for a dog park. But my thought is that there used to be back years ago in the 70s, a horse ring up past the football fields, and it was where that roadway runs behind the football fields at Duncan Park, runs back up in there. And there used to be, like I say, a ring that they had horse shows every Saturday. And so I'm thinking that would be an ideal place, but it, in my opinion, I don't think it has to be a real extravagant thing, you know, just a fence around the area and water. I mean, you know more about it than I do, but that, I think that was the thought to begin with. So, yeah, not no $1 million, but at any rate, what do you think about that, maybe putting a fountain up in that area?
It's fine. We have to run a water line from the main lines over there near the top football field in order to feed it. I wouldn't have a problem with it being placed over there, but it would not be, so to speak, a dog park where we would have to have cleaning and assign maintenance staff to it on a daily basis. So if we would put a fountain up there, it would be for the owners to go there and know that they can go there for dog fountain. But we don't want to use the word dog park, because then that means it's going to require more. The ones I've seen even have restrooms for the owners of the pets.
Yes. Well, I know that one that we saw at that apartment complex, they had even a place where they could go in and wash the dogs down after they walked around in that fenced-in area. Not nothing that extravagant.
Yeah, because that
– what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that was nice.
Very nice.
But it would be costly, I believe, to install that.
Okay.
Something for the future we could work on, possibly.
Okay. All right. Well,
Mr. Colbert,
yes,
Councilwoman
ma'am.
Davis, I have a question in reference to the fountain. That sounds nice. Would we be able to do it for the $10,000? And have a memorial there for her, recognizing her for the gift?
We can have a nice plaque, yes, for that. We would have to have some of our in-kind contribution from our utility department. We wouldn't be paying for all of the work in that way. We should be able to do it, but I need to talk with our utilities department to find out. What's the cost of the piping for that line?
Yeah. And the usage of the water, I guess.
Yes. Well, yes. But the way the dog fountains are made, the water is for both the owner and the pet.
Oh.
Yeah, a dog fountain has a bowl at the bottom of the fountain. The dogs drink. You push the button, the dog drink, and then the individual can drink from the top. So it's serving two purposes.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Council, what are your ideas concerning, you know, if she, I mean, I think she's in agreement with us doing a fountain with a memorial there in her name. And I just need to, we just need to know your thoughts, because we've got to do something with the $10,000 and give it back to her. And we would really like to do something for her because she really loves dogs and she wants to leave a legacy here in the city of Fairburn.
Well, I'm all in favor of it. I don't know how the others feel, you know, just to do the fountain.
Yeah.
This is Councilwoman.
I'm in agreement.
Okay. What's that? Who was that?
Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Can you hold just for a second? Was that Councilman Whitmore?
Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood said, I'm in agreement with the fountain.
Okay. And then that was Councilwoman Davis?
Yes, I'm in agreement with that.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Yes, thank you. Yes, I'm in agreement with it as well. I would ask if Mr. Culper could come back with us as soon as possible with what the cost to do that, as well as a possible location. It does need to be a visible location, and it does need to be an area, you know, where people are walking their dogs. So if you could bring us back a couple of locations for consideration, Mr. Culbreth, in addition to the cost.
Yes, ma'am. One thing that if I may add, we would have signage. We would have signage.
To the fountain.
In the park, stating that there's a fountain for dogs in a certain area. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Councilman Whitmore?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I'm definitely in favor of it. Again, by having a citizen that loves dogs and is willing to donate her finances to take care of a portion of this, I think is admirable. And also, as my colleague, Councilman Heath, has stated in previous meetings about the failing health and being able to do something while she's still able to smell the flowers, while she can still yet smell them. So I'm definitely in agreement.
Okay. So Mr. Culbreth, you have your walking papers. You're going to come back with us with a proposed location.
Yes, ma'am.
Probably a diagram of what it's going to look like and give us a cost.
Yes, ma'am. I certainly will.
And would you report back to the donor in case she's not online with us tonight as to which way we're going?
Yes, I will do that. And I did ask her to be online as well.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
Now,
does anyone else have any other comments for Mr. Culbreth concerning this donation? Okay. All right. So that's it for tonight. We do have, I think we'll go on and do our comments before we break for the executive session. I see our attorney is on the line now. We do have an executive session tonight and it concerns pending litigation. And as soon as we finish the comments, I'm going to let Dr. Parks, are you there, Dr. Parks?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
He's going to give us instructions as to how to go to another room so that we can have our executive session. And then we'll come back and dismiss in regular session of the Zoom meeting. We'll start with Councilwoman Davis tonight. Do you have any comments?
No comments, Mayor.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Councilman Palin?
No comment.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Whitmore?
No comments, Mayor.
Councilwoman Portis Jones?
Yes, Mayor. I just want to say that I am disappointed that we could not find a way to provide incentive pay to our employees for 2020. We are continuing the hazardous pay. We're receiving funds from the CARES Act to supplement that. We should have been able to provide something to our employees in the spirit of Christmas, as we've always done. With that, I end my comments.
Okay, thank you so much, Councilwoman Portis Jones. Councilman
Heath. Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to give a shout out and tell everyone, thank you for your support. Ms. Mullis is a very special person and a close friend of mine. And I just appreciate everything that y'all have done. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood.
No comments.
Okay, I think that's everyone. Just a couple of comments tonight before we go into executive session. You all received an email today from our clerk concerning a special call meeting. We're going to be discussing the budget and how we're going to spend the CARES Act funding that we're receiving, which is about $699,000. She has suggested Thursday, October the 1st at 7:00. We already have a draft. Mr. Taylor and I have been looking at some numbers and some items And I can tell you, it didn't take us, probably didn't take us an hour to figure out how to spin it. And so we're going to be bringing that to you at the special call meeting. So I'm going to ask you to do your best to work out a schedule, if you can, on Thursday, because as you know, we have until December the 15th to submit our receipts to Fulton County, or we have to return the monies that we still have on hand. And so we're kind of under the hardball right now, just to get some expenses out there and get receipts back in so that we can get them to Fulton County. The IGA that we talked about last week that you authorized me to sign was signed today by myself, and is also assigned by our city attorney, Randy Turner, and our clerk is being sent. If it hasn't gone out, it will be sent first thing tomorrow morning back to Fulton County. After they receive this executed copy of the IGA, we should get the 30% advance, which is $209,872. And the last thing that I want to talk to council about real quick is that we're going to be coming back to you probably in the next 2 weeks concerning the fire station. And we'll talk to you more about that. There are some things up in the air right now that we have to get worked out. And having a conversation with our city attorney today, I think we can have them worked out within the next 2 weeks, at least to get something to you on the fire station. And with that being said, Dr. Parks, would you please come online and give directions to going into the special room for the executive session?
Yes, ma'am. All city council members, city clerk, and city attorney, on your computer in just a moment, you will receive a join me message. You will press the join me and be sent directly into the meeting room. Councilman Palin, because you're on a phone, you will automatically be sent directly into the room. Once the meeting is over, you can press the leave room button. It's going to say leave room, and that will bring you back to this meeting area where you can close out the meeting this evening. Once Mayor appears, I will automatically close the room for all those individuals that are still in the room. And that will bring Councilman Pat Palin back into this room as well, and anyone else. So with that being said, I'm now going to open that room and you will get that notification.
Dr. Parks, Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood, I'm on the phone as well.
Okay, you will be sent directly in, sir.
Okay.
Okay, if this is where we have you from, yes, sir, we do have you that way, okay?
Okay, perfect.
Thank you. If you don't get in, log back in here and I'll get you in that room, okay?
Okay. Dr. Parks.
Yes, sir.
This is Randy Turner.
I have you in.
Yeah, I think we need to get a motion to go in the executive session first, have that approved.
Yes, and sorry, sir.
If you'll put the message up after that motion is made and approved.
Okay, may I have a motion to go into executive session, please?
So moved, Councilwoman Davis.
A motion made by Councilwoman Davis. We will now go into executive session.
Room is now opening.
Present.
Okay, what about, who am I missing? Councilman Palin.
He's coming in 5 more seconds, I believe. Well, no, 37 more seconds.
Okay.
He's in here now.
Okay. Looks like Councilwoman Davis.
I'm here.
Okay. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. Okay, so I'm looking for, there, Councilman Palin. So we are all back.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. All right. Is
I bet you I just made it.
motion to adjourn, Councilman Palin, and seconded by Councilwoman Davis.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
We now stand adjourned. Everybody, good night. Good evening.
All right.
Good night.
Goodbye, everyone. Good evening.
Good night. Have a good evening.